Today's devotional is Titus chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. The second chapter of Titus starts off with a key phrase, "But as for you." The "you" here is Titus, who is leading the church or churches in Crete. And Paul is contrasting how Titus is to live with the false teachers of Crete. Remember, the false teachers were of the circumcision party, and this was leading a lot of people astray. The false teachers were leading lots of people astray. The previous verse before chapter 2, verse 1 is, "They profess to know God, but they deny him by his works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work." Titus is to live in the opposite way, which is the godly way, which accords with sound doctrine. And he is to teach others to do the same. So in verses 2 to 6, he addresses all groups of people: older men, older women, younger women, and younger men. The main message is that the Christians at Crete are to be sober-minded and self-controlled. My study Bible points out that these are basically the same words, sober-minded and self-controlled. What being self-controlled looks like is a little different for each group. For example, the instructions include not being slaves to much wine for older women, and younger women should be taught to love their husbands and children. Yet overall, being self-controlled means not being mastered by the desires of the flesh, whether it's drunkenness, lust, or other things of the world. Some of the why behind this is in verse 5, that the word of God may not be reviled. God calls his people to live holy lives, so of course, if his people had no control of themselves and gave into every desire of their flesh, then that would be to revile or hate God's word. In verses 7 and 8, Paul states that in all respects, Titus should be a model of good works, so that opponents have nothing evil to say about us. In verse 9, Paul calls out that bondservants should be submissive in everything. This is definitely a high calling, that in every aspect of our lives, we are to be holy and set apart for God. Verse 10 gives another why for all this: showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. We are imitators of Jesus, who is perfectly submitted to God the Father. Jesus, fully God and fully human on the earth, had perfect self-control to never give in to desires of the flesh, even to the point of death. And it's amazing that bondservants, or in other translations, slaves, can adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. In other words, put on the way of Jesus through their act of submitting to their masters. And likewise, in all of our actions, we can display Jesus to others. Reflecting on our lives, in what areas do we need to exercise self-control? Like we've seen in this passage, there are so many ways to exercise self-control, so many areas in our lives. And in each person's context, it will look different than others. My guess is that it's not too hard to think of an area in which we need to exercise self-control. Many of us have had more time on our hands because we are working from home or just limited with what we can do. Would you say that you have displayed self-control with this extra time at home? On a lighter note, the NBA has been back for a few weeks, and I found it really hard to be disciplined about how much time I'm devoting to watching basketball, to reading about it and daydreaming about it. It does impact me when I let it take up too much of the space in my mind and my heart. On a more serious note, Pastor Barry has mentioned it a few times, that overall in our country, pornography numbers have increased during the pandemic. And this is definitely a battleground for those in our church to exercise self-control. In what areas do we need to exercise self-control? One encouragement in striving for self-control from this passage is that we can learn from others. We see many examples of this, many instances. Paul instructing Titus. Titus instructing those in the church. Titus instructing older women to teach younger women, as well as telling everybody to be examples to others. We have others in our lives who we can learn from to be sober-minded, ranging from pastors to family group members to believers who have gone before us. I encourage us to reflect on this question: who can I look to as an example right now? And how can I be intentional about learning from them? Maybe it's reaching out to a mentor or a peer. Maybe it's reading a Christian book that was recommended to you before. In any case, let's be proactive and striving for self-control and holiness. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this passage, and just thank you for this example of Paul and Titus and of how they strive for self-control, sober-mindedness, and holiness. And God, I pray that as we examine our own lives and as we reflect on areas where we need more self-control, God, I pray that we would look to you and strive for these areas to reflect you, and God, that we would draw strength from your Spirit. Lord, we lift up these areas to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.